Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
A Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. I am excited about today, mostly because Jesus is alive. I'm gonna try to speak briefly here. Y'all feeling good? Is it okay? We be the family. Here's what has to be encouraging to you. When you see people coming into their call, you know, you gotta just be excited that it's happening. You're like, it's not okay, it may not be me, but it's happening. At least there's a pipeline. Right? There's a pipeline. People are getting promotion. This is good. This is very good. Linda, can you stand for me? I got a word for you last night. How you doing? Feeling good? You look nervous. You good? This is kind of simple, but... You're coming into a neat season. And hear what I say before you, you know, really hear what I say. I feel like God doesn't care what you've learned. And it's like, you know, you've learned a bunch of stuff and he's like, yeah, that's great. Whatever. Let's move on to what I'm teaching you now. And what I feel like is you're coming into a season where you've been taught a lot of information based on someone's revelation. And it's going to, now this is going to be information from you to draw on based on your revelation. Right? So like, say you're part of a dance company, right? Say you're a ballerina or you're an artist somehow. And you train under someone who is a master in this certain field. Say you're into martial arts or whatever. And you train under somebody who's a master and they teach you this technique and you continue to train under them until you become an expert in that field yourself. And then one day, if you have the skill, you move out on your own. And you then use your skill and your talents and your unique abilities, drawing from what you learned from that master to flow in your gift. Right? This is why you go to college before you go to grad school. This is why you have to have an advanced degree before you write books. We want to know that you know what everybody else already knows. Now we'll take into account what you've been getting. Thank you. And so don't tell me you have a business plan if you've never studied business, because you don't know the pitfalls of your plan, right? Don't tell me you're ready to start writing if you go to learn an instrument, you learn scales and chords and all that stuff. And then you start building songs based on that that sound nothing like scales and chords. You build upon it. But there has to be this fundamental knowledge. And if you stay at the fundamental thing and you just say, well, I'm just playing my scales, I'm playing my chords, and you're kind of stuck in middle school band, right? And the Lord says, you know, I want you to grow in all of this stuff, not to tell us what they know, so that I can build something in you. And so we study the Bible to get everything that these guys knew as a foundation to what God is speaking to us. Right? It becomes a strong foundation of the revelation that comes. And I feel like the Lord is saying at this time, it's time to start taking a little lateral step. Okay, they say that. What is the Lord speaking to you? And often you're going to have very different conclusions based on revelation. It's going to be a very different conclusion to what you've been taught, but it is going to be a key. It won't be contrary. It won't be like theirs is fallacy and yours is truth. Where the word speaks, obviously, is eternal. But the Lord speaks in the language of the person who's listening. Right? And I feel like the Lord is going to begin speaking to you in a language that you'll understand better than those who you've studied under. And he's going to take this wealth of knowledge and the humility to learn, and he's going to build something very powerful on it. with humility. And I think it's going to be also almost a subversive power, because it's going to be with such a humility that people will drop their guard to receive it. And it'll be like leaven, you know, the good leaven, not the bad leaven. It's like the leaven of the kingdom. When it sprinkles in, it just infects everything. Does that make sense? And so it's a scary season in that now you got to own it. And that's where most people don't move ahead. It's really easy to say, you know, they say this and they say that. It's a lot more scary when you say, I believe this is what this means. But God is with you. Amen? That's a good word. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, stretch your hand toward the Father in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out revelation right now. Woo! And that you and your husband together would get dreams together. And that you would move to a place spiritually where you complete each other's sentences. And that you and your husband would learn to hear the language of the Spirit together. Yeah, that's it right there. That you and your husband would learn to hear this language of the Spirit together. And that the gifts that each of you bring would complete the puzzle. That's good. In Jesus' name, well, so I'm taking that one. Amen. Don't walk in it. I'll take it. That's okay. You don't want that one. Just sleep on that one. You sleep on a word around here, they will snatch it. John chapter 8. I'm going to talk about a couple things today. I'm going to talk a little bit about prophetic dreams, because we've had so many of them recently. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. You there? Let me hear you say yeah. Are y'all okay? You excited today? This is a very good day. 8:31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Father, we thank you that you bless the reading of your word today. And that you revealed truth to us, because we really want some truth. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. I want to give you a definition that I made up on my own, so you can take it or leave it, all right? I want to talk to you about the curse before we talk about the blessing. I was in a church that talked about the curse a lot. And in this church that I was a part of, the curse came from God. And if you behaved in a way that God didn't like, he would curse you. And so you were very, very scared of being cursed by God. Now, I had trouble with that revelation, because if God is the one cursing me, why would I want to run to him? I like to run from curses, not toward them. That's just me. Thank you back there on the other side of the curtain. I appreciate that. I have since come to the revelation that God does not curse me. Because when I see God cursing things, they're no longer around. There was this guy named Korah, and he decided to rebel against God. And God didn't patiently wait for him to repent. The earth opened up and swallowed them. They say that Enoch and Elijah are the only people in the Bible who never died, and that's not true. Korah and his whole rebellion were taken alive straight to hell. That's bad. That's bad. I don't want that. That's what the curse looks like. Go find Gomorrah. That's what the curse looks like. Okay? I don't believe God is cursing people. I believe that after Jesus was sacrificed for our sins, then judgment was pushed off into the next life. There is a judgment to come, and you want to die spiritually now before you die naturally. Because if you die naturally, before you die spiritually, it's bad. So you want to go ahead and just, you know, die to yourself now, so that when you die physically, you can live in Christ forever. Amen? And so So then there's this doctrine that comes against the people who say that God curses you, to say that there is no curse. And in fact, in Proverbs, it says there is no curse without a cause, which, yes, that's very good, but there could be a cause. Okay? I don't believe God curses anyone. Here's what I believe. I believe a curse, and this is what I'm going to talk about just for a minute. I believe a curse is a highly infectious spiritual disease rooted in a lie that actively seeks new ground to conquer. A curse, if you're taking notes, it's a highly infectious spiritual disease rooted in a lie that actively seeks new ground to conquer. It's an infectious disease. That means it's not a genetic thing that you're born with it. It's infectious in the fact that it spreads quickly. It's a disease in the fact that if those of you who study medicine know that a disease is categorized as a disease when it gives symptoms. When it becomes symptomatic, then you know it's a disease. And curses don't come from God. Curses are the natural fruit of a lie that you believe and you hold on to and you act upon. Some say that a curse is a lie buried alive in your life. When you believe a lie and you make it part of your belief system, it then becomes a curse. Because it attracts more negativity and it spreads through your life. Let me give you an easy example. And here, you know, in the next couple weeks, there are going to be some things exploding in your heart. The Beisners are going to speak in a couple weeks on some stuff that's going to set a lot of people free. Looking forward to that. let me give you an easy example. An easy example, let's say that you were physically abused by your father as a child. And you come to the unconscious conclusion that you can't trust men. You don't even realize that's how you view it now. Intimacy scares you. And so you believe in your heart that if I let some people get too close, they'll hurt me. And in fact, people are only interested in me for my physical pleasure. And so now you go to develop relationships as an adult that are just really bad. They just don't go well. Why? Because unconsciously you believe that if I let people too close, they'll hurt me. And besides, all they really want from me is physical affection. Now, God has not cursed you with bad relationships. You have built relationships based on a lie. You know what I'm saying? This is not an active thing of God. All the curses have been broken in Christ Jesus. They don't have a power over you that you don't give them. The only way a curse has power over you is when you believe it and you give it the power God has given you as a believer. Yeah, I hope this isn't too deep, right? You getting this? And so, as a believer, God has equipped you to just have every curse in your life broken. And the easy answer is just walk in love. If you just walk and demonstrate love in every area of your life, and then the curses have no power over you. The problem is we don't necessarily walk and live that way. It's hard. Yes, it's hard. And you know in Christ Jesus you're supposed to forgive, and you know in Christ Jesus you're not allowed to judge, and you know all these things, but how many know sometimes it's a process? It is a process. And the closer the person was to you who hurt you, the harder it is. And if you're a child, when this happened, and you find, you know, I counsel people who are well into their 50s who are still dealing with stuff that happened to them when they were, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11. And so if that's you today, I get that. I get that. I have compassion on you. Please don't feel like I'm thumping you on the head for having these things happening to you or that you're still dealing with them. I mean, no condemnation and no judgment in this. However, I do believe that the more we put light on this thing, the less power it's going to have in your life. So I don't speak about curses to scare you. Don't do this because there's a curse waiting to get on. No. What I'm here to say is when you start seeing a negative trend in your life, the curse that's there is the lie that you have believed and allowed to propagate in your life. Let's deal with it. Let's get light in some of these places where you're scared to let the light. Yeah? Because there's places in our lives that we, you know, as much as we say we love truth and we lift holy hands and worship God in spirit and in truth, but at the same time, we're a little scared to let God into that part of our life. Because we feel like, then I'm going to have to deal with it. When you put spiritual truths to work in your life, natural fruit comes later. It's not always instant, but it always comes. The more you walk in truth, the more you walk in the light, the more good, godly fruit your life produces. That's why when you read the scripture and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you would think would be spiritual stuff. Right? I mean, like, if I have the Spirit at work in my life, then the fruit would be revelation and prophecy and miracles. But that's not true. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible tells us, are all emotional manifestations through our life. Faithfulness and goodness and long-suffering. So when the Spirit is really at work in our life, it begins to change the attitude issues. And now we can operate in love with other people. Free of judgment, free of bitterness, free of hatred, free of fear. When we allow the Spirit at work in our life. And so I bring up curses to say, when you see a trend in your life, it's not God punishing you. It's not God punishing you. And it's not that the devil now has authority over you. It's that there's just an area of your life that there isn't light. Get the light in there, and then the bad fruit stops. You see, where there is darkness, there is no light. You can't have light and darkness in the same place. It's not possible. And we know that when you turn on the light, the darkness flees. The darkness flees from the light. It instantly has to leave. And so we can yell at the darkness all we want. I just like to turn on the light. I just find that easier. People do a lot of deliverance ministry by talking to demons and all. I don't like to do that as such. I just like to get light in there. And then I just kind of look at the demon like, you know, you can't say now, right? And you're like, I know. All right, let's just go. Okay. I'm going to throw up first. No, how about not? Just go. Let me just say this. We believe in deliverance strongly. We don't believe in letting the demon put on a show before he leaves. I'm going to leave it at that. I have 5 stories to tell about that, but I'm not going to. Okay. This is kind of deep, all right? I'm going to talk about dreams in a second, but I just want to get some foundational stuff working here, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be free. You're going to be free today. Hope I get free with you. Tell them, hope I get free with you. I hope I get free with you. See, we want our lives built on truth. We want truth all through our lives so that when we step out in what we believe is God, it's not on presumption. It's actually on truth. I don't want to step out on presumption. I don't want to step out on what, you know, God, what Carl thinks is a good idea. I don't want to say, you know, God, I started this thing. How come you didn't finish it? I want to be able to boldly stand before God and say, listen, you told me to forgive. And you said, if I forgive, you would heal my heart. I'm still hurting. It's time for you to move. And he honors his word. I want to stand before you and say, hey, God is telling us as a family, as a church, God's word over this house is that we're moving into a new season of forgiveness and blessing, and he's going to heal your hearts. And I want to say that to you, not because I think it's a good idea, but because God has spoken it to me, and it's what you're going to see in your lives. Then I can boldly stand up and say, hey, guess what? He's about to do this in your life. And I can say that boldly because God has spoken to me that there is a move of love and healing coming into this house in even greater level. There's a move of pastoral care coming into this house in a greater level. And there's a revelation of the Father's love coming into this house in a greater level. And it's going to be an empowering in your life. It's going to enable you to do stuff you could not do before. And there's a healing of your past that's going to come, freeing you up from the things that have held you back before. I can tell you that confidently. I can tell you that confidently because God has spoken that to me. Not only has God spoken that to me, but I've seen the fruit of it in this house already. So if you're still being held back by the things that are weighing down your mind, I'm here to let you know, guess what? That thing's time is almost up. You're moving into a land of freedom. You can't be on a bus and say, oh, they're going to Memphis, but I'm not. No, we're all going to Memphis together. If you want to get off the bus, get off the bus. But I'm telling you where this bus is going. As the bus driver, I'm here to let you know I got the route from the Holy Ghost, and this is where we're going. You want to go? Come on, stay on board, because we're all going together. And some of you are just going to be on board, not even believing me, but it's going to happen in your life just because you keep coming to church. You ever come to church not expecting nothing? You get the Holy Ghost hook up from nowhere, and you're like, my God, from Zion, how'd I get on the ground? I was sitting in my seat, everything was nice, and now I'm laying on the ground, and people are yelling over me. What's happening? And you just go home a little bit different. That don't happen when you stay home. That happens when you get on the bus. Stay on the bus. Gosh, I hope I'm getting somewhere with this. Okay. God's desire is to bridge heaven and earth. And you know, you're the link. You are the link. At one time, the temple was the link between heaven and earth. They had to go to the temple to sacrifice stuff so that heaven and earth could be bridged. But now he's like, I know what I'll do. I'll make you the temple. I'll make you the temple. And as the lie is repented of, and as the sin is repented of, the glory will come down and consume the sacrifice. And the glory will fill the temple. That's you. And now heaven invades earth through you. It doesn't invade through a CD. It doesn't invade through a fancy church in another state. There's no super apostle releasing heaven. It's you. It's me. It's the believer. It's a community of believers who just come to faith in what God is doing and repenting of the things that are blocking God in our lives. I can make this very complicated and sell books wildly, but it's just not complicated. Receive Jesus, walk in forgiveness, be filled with his glory. Sounds simple, yeah? Let's talk about it. You might want to write this one down. Revelation is above understanding. Revelation is above understanding. Because you don't understand things is irrelevant to its being truth. And something jumped in my heart when I was praying this morning, and I'm just going to speak it over to you. Just because you don't look like a success doesn't mean you're not. Just because what you're doing doesn't look successful does not mean it's not successful. Christianity is about a long obedience. And if you're obeying God, you're being wildly successful. You may not see the fruit of it right now. And I dare say you may not see it this side of glory. But your success is not based on the world's measurements. It's not based on the world's standards. There are some really great churches in America that are massive, and there are some really great churches that are not. There are some really great evangelists that have massive crusades, and there are some very, very, very significant evangelists who've never held a public meeting. If you're going to hold God to what you understand, you're going to come up very short of what God wants you to do with your life. Because your whole life won't require any faith at all. And God delights in you acting on faith. He delights in it. He delights in it. Revelation is above understanding. Revelation is God revealing truth. You may or may not understand it. If you've walked with God any amount of time, God has told you to do something that you said, that don't make no kind of sense to me, God. Hopefully you said, I'll do it anyways. Sometimes you probably didn't. You don't know when God woke you up at 4:00 in the morning and told you to pray. You don't know who you're saving from destruction. You don't know what blessing you're pulling down. You don't know. You do not know. And I believe that, you know, when you wake up one day and God's like, hey, how about you just don't eat today? And you're like, whoa, but I am hungry. You ever have God tell you to just start a fast and it just happens to be the day of the holiday party at work? Does that happen to anybody other than me? Like, wow. You don't know why you had to do that. God likes to tell me to not watch TV. Like around the basketball playoff times. He loves that. You've been rooting for this team all year? They've been historically lousy? How about you just not watch the playoffs? Okay. Okay. Just put the jersey away. And why does God do that? I don't know. I know he does, though. And I know that when we obey him in faith, he blesses us. I believe God, and let me just give you a little Carl tidbit here. I believe God sometimes does that just because he wants to see you obey him, because it makes him happy. You know, husbands, like your wife is cooking, and you're like, babe, why don't you just come sit down with me for a minute? She's like, I'm cooking. We just want her to show you that you're important at that moment. You know what I'm talking about? Fellas, anybody willing to be honest with me? Thank you, Mikey. We have good marriages. Women, sometimes you know you look good. You just want your husband to say it. You just want to hear him say it. Right? You just want to hear him come into agreement with the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, speak the truth into the atmosphere, honey. Let the world know I look good. I believe God likes that. I believe that God sometimes just wants to know that he's more important than your playoff series. Sometimes I believe God wants to know that he's more important than your lunch or your holiday party or whatever stupid thing you picked over him when he told you to do something. I just think sometimes God wants to know, hey, can you just let me know that I'm important? And in the midst of this fellowship, I'm going to let you know how important you are. Sometimes it just feels good to know that you're in the process, even though you don't know what the process is. Like, God's doing something to me. What is it? I don't know, but I'm glad he's doing something. Right? You just like to be in the process with God. And God likes to reveal the process to you, but doesn't necessarily always reveal to you what the process is going to produce. That's the part that requires faith. And you got to get in your heart and get in your mind that God is a good God. God has good plans for me. God is taking me somewhere. God has saved me for a purpose. And he's given me the instructions now, even though I don't know how the puzzle comes together. You got to get that in your heart. My God is a good God, and he has good plans for me. And when he tells me I have to do this thing and I don't want to do it, I know it's for my good. Thank you, those of you who agree with me. This is... We have a saying around here. We want to live out of revelation, not imitation. We want to live out of revelation, not based on what everybody else is doing. And revelation dwells in the realm of your imagination. And this is where I'm going with the dreams. Revelation dwells in the realm of your imagination. God speaks to your mind. He speaks to your intellect. He speaks to your emotions. He speaks through your eye gate and through your ear gates. And he wants you to get this revelation on the inside of your mind so you can dwell on this truth so it can change your life. He wants to invade the realm of your imagination. And so what we have to do as believers is we have to make a decision. Am I going to live by memory or revelation? Am I going to live through what I've learned in the natural, or am I going to live by what I have learned in the spirit? Regardless of what I see around me. Are y'all getting anything? And we have to, as believers, we have to decide in our hearts and in our minds, what I understand and what I feel is irrelevant to what the truth is. The truth is based on what God has spoken. The truth is based on what God has spoken, and whether or not I understand it is irrelevant. Because he is a good God. He is a good God, and what he says is truth. I may not understand his goodness, but he is a good God. In Genesis chapter 3, there's that couple we talked about last week, Adam and Eve. And there's a funny thing that God asks them. You know, God never asks you a question he didn't know the answer to. God only asks you questions because you don't know the answer to it. God asks you questions for your understanding, not for his. And so he goes to Adam and Eve when they were hiding because they were naked. And he asked them an interesting question in Genesis 3:11. He says, who told you that? Who told you that you're naked? Where'd you get that revelation from? It's important to understand where you've learned the truths that run your life. It's important to get a revelation of where your belief systems have come from. Is that what your mama taught you? Is that what you learned in school? Is that what the preacher man 20 years ago told you? Did the father tell you that? He said, who told you? Who told you? And then he said, did you eat from that tree? He's making a very clear connection here. You believe a lie because you sinned. Your sin has brought the lie, and now you're cursed. And we had to wait until Jesus to break that. And so, we have a very good God for our God. We have a very, very, very good God. And I want to encourage you today that God is speaking into every area of your life that is not producing fruit because He wants it to be, He wants every area of your life to be prosperous. He wants your finances to be prosperous. He wants your relationships to be prosperous. He wants your business to be prosperous. He wants every area of your life to be prosperous. And many of you, He's given you dreams that He wants them to prosper, and you just think they're you and they're Him. He's better than you could ever imagine. He's just so very good. In Psalms 51, the psalmist says it this way: behold, I was brought forth in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret place. The psalmist says, listen, I know that I'm made out of sin. I was born in sin. I've lived in sin. And maybe today you've been in sin. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're struggling with confusion. And you don't know God's direction for your life. And you don't know if it's left or right or relationship issues or life issues. Or maybe you're called to ministry and you don't know because you've seen bad examples and you don't know how to go about it and you don't know whatever. And the encouraging promise here in this scripture is that God wants there to be truth in every inward part of your life, and God will teach you wisdom in the secret place. In the secret heart, God will teach you wisdom. See, when you make bad decisions, it's not based on wisdom. That's based on foolishness. And maybe you've made foolish decisions and now you're reaping the fruit of a curse in your life. Maybe your finances are an absolute wreck because you've made bad decisions, or you got all kinds of people don't like you because you've made bad decisions and because of the lies in your heart. But the Bible tells me that when I spend time with Him, He tells me right here that God wants me to walk in truth. And not only does He desire it, the Bible says He will teach it to me in my secret heart. The work's all on His side. How do I do that? He wants to do it. You need to believe that He wants to do it and then let Him do it. Thank you. And so we see that God will, He's so good, He'll supersede your understanding and give you truth. He'll just go right around what you believe. He's like, I understand you have an opinion on everything that you see. I'm just going to jump past that. One way He did that is that He wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible because foolish man likes to reinvent stuff every generation. We like to react to the previous generation and come up with a new revelation of God. And He's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to write a Bible and let you know that I'm unchanging. Your revelation of me may change, but I am unchanging. So we don't have a new God every generation. All right, that's a good one right there. That's a good one right there alone. Just that alone is good. However, I want to talk specifically about the realm of dreams and how God talks to us in dreams. Now, in Acts chapter 2, what I find very interesting is on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. I'm not going to talk about the phenomena of tongues, but Peter stands up and starts giving understanding to what happened. Right? I believe that Scripture is infallible, yeah? I also believe that Peter was fairly anointed. And I believe on the one church service that Jesus was in charge of, because they didn't have any religion yet in Christianity, that things happened exactly the way He wanted. And so in the midst of this outpouring of the Spirit, Peter stands up. Are y'all getting something out of this? Y'all feel like God is going to talk to you right now? Is your faith stirred? Are you ready for something to flow right here? I feel like the Holy Ghost is going to ignite some things. He says, Peter stands up and says, look, they may look like they're a fool, but they're not. They're not drunk. They look drunk, but they're not. And what's kind of funny is the only reason he said they're not drunk is because it's early in the morning. It's not that they don't get drunk. It's just early, you know. I'm not going to preach that. That's not a doctrine I'm embracing right now. I'm just letting you know. It's a funny defense. He didn't say, they're not drunk. They're godly people. No, he said, they're not drunk. They just woke up. You know, it's too early for them to be drunk. You don't want to think on that one too long. You come to funny conclusions. He says, listen, they're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. It's about 9 o'clock. He says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Any of you in here a son or a daughter? You get to prophesy. Hallelujah. You get to prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I know older people like to hold on to this. That means they get to sleep more. And that's an excuse for not waking up early and going to bed early. You know, like I'm an older man, I need to be dreaming dreams. Visions are for the younger people who are awake. I'm sleeping because I'm preparing myself for the Lord to talk. I'm not sleeping in, honey. I'm being prophetic. Preparing a resting place. But right here in the very first church service, if you will, at the birthing of the church, he boldly declares, hey, guess what? God promised that he's going to speak to you and through you. To you and through you. He's going to speak to you and through you. And sometimes there's too much of you for him to talk. He's got to supersede the you and just talk to you in your dreams. He's like, you keep getting in the way. I try to show you some scripture. I have people come and talk to you. You're getting it all wrong. I'm going to just have to invade your dream life. Because he's a good God. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel said it this way. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Say it. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. This doesn't have to be confusing. He'll reveal the truth to you. Two types of dreams I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to pray for you. The first type of dream, thank you, is what I call, now everybody's got these different languages. I'm just going to teach you the right one. The first one is what's called the symbolic dream. It's a symbolic dream. This is where everything in the dream means something. But it's not literal. You know, like you walk out your front door and you're in a hot air balloon and you're dropping watermelons in places and you're like, Lord, have you called me to watermelon delivery ministry by hot air balloon? It's like, no. That means something, just not that. Now, a good portion of your dreams are just, you know, you ate too late. It's that peanut butter late at night, bro. I tell you what, you want to feel prophetic, eat peanut butter late. People with 12 eyes and flying and all kind of crazy stuff. It's not prophetic. It's late night peanut butter, all right? At least for me. So you know the difference. You know the difference. You wake up and something sticks with you. It sticks in your spirit. You're like, man, that meant something right there. Some of you who are particularly prophetic, God talks to you all the time in dreams. How many of you get prophetic dreams a lot? How many? You get prophetic dreams a lot? Yeah. I don't get a lot of prophetic dreams. I've got maybe a handful in my entire walk. But they've been very significant to me. Some of you, I get a lot of visions, though. I get a lot of, God talks to me a lot. I get a lot of visions. You might call me prophetic. We had an exercise one time in ministry school, and they're like, I want you to journal everything God speaks to you. I'm like, I don't have time for that. Like, I got to live a life here. Like, I don't know. I'll pray for you, and you'll realize this is a dumb exercise because he's always talking. I really don't have time for that. Right now, the Lord is saying this is a dumb exercise. I'll bring confusion upon those who waste my son's time. You know. But listen, if you get these prophetic dreams, it's really important that you have some elders in your life that you trust that can help you try to figure out what God is speaking to you. Now, you get to a certain place where you know you're having. It's just part of your relationship with God, and that's just how you fellowship through dream life. But if you're not at that place, and the majority of you are not, you want to have some people in your life like, hey, what is God trying to speak to me? What is this? You got to help me figure this part out because there's a reason God is talking to you while you're sleeping. Yeah. Thank you. And we see an example of this in Daniel chapter 2. Now, Daniel chapter 2, the king has this crazy dream, and and this is how Daniel kind of came to prominence because he was able to interpret this dream. If you get a crazy dream and you know it's from God and you can't figure out what it is, good news, God has somebody to interpret it for you. Because he's not revealing confusion from heaven. That's not his desire at all. It's really his desire to bring understanding. And he's probably bringing you a symbolic prophetic dream because he wants you to be connected to other people. And your connection to other people will help bring some clarity in your life. I'm going long. I thought I'd be done by now, and I'm not. It's, you know, but I'm going to keep talking. Thank you. And so in to this day, people are still trying to figure out what the stuff in Daniel 2 is. They got all kinds of stuff in the feet of Russia, and they're like, I don't think it was, but that's irrelevant. But there are a lot of symbolic dreams. Now, who gets crazy God dreams that are very symbolic? Who gets those? Like, this meant something, and that meant something else, and you get the, yeah. Do you have a hard time figuring out what they mean? How do you figure it out, what they mean? Yeah. I get crazy prophetic dreams emailed to me. What do? You pray? You write it down, and then what? And then what? And how do you get understanding? Do you ask your parents? His parents live in Orlando. They're godly people. They're a blessing. That doesn't mean you have to take it to your parents, those of you who. All right? Yeah. Don't take it to your ratchet parents. That means you're supposed to clean the room. That's what it means. Like, I don't think that's what it means, Mom. I think it means move out this house. I don't know. You want to take this stuff to people who have no investment in what happens at the end of the dream, right? Okay, so those are the virtual dreams, and those can be pretty crazy if you've had those before. That'll invade your I don't know. But then there's what I call the reality dreams. And I don't want to go deep into this, but a reality dream, some people call it a vision, but the Bible calls it a dream most of the time. And a reality dream is where you're doing stuff, but your body's asleep. You know, your spirit man doesn't sleep. And there's times you get engaged with God, and you just stay engaged, and your body just gets out of the way. And I don't want to go too deep into that, but the Bible just shows us this time and time and time again. In Genesis chapter 20, the Bible says that God came to Abimelech in a dream. And by night, and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. How many fellas know what that's like? You are a dead man because of the woman that you have taken. Oh, good Lord. Knew that was a bad choice. Hurt. But the Bible says that was God speaking to him in a dream, right? And God will come and just speak to things that you don't necessarily want to hear. In a dream, we see again in Matthew chapter 2, it says of Mary and Joseph, it says, when they had departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. He spoke to him in a dream. I think that's really significant. And it was later in a dream that told him he can go back. And so, I mean, this is fairly significant revelation. The father, hear this, at this time, they were murdering the firstborn sons, trying to get the Messiah. And the father trusted Joseph to take care of his son. That's a big deal. And he didn't come and bring a prophet to give him law, spoke to him in a dream. We're talking about the safety of the Messiah was trusted to a man having a dream. He speaks significant things in dreams, yeah? And so God will give you direction in a prophetic dream just so he can get you out of the way. Another time, he gives warnings in a dream. He'll warn you in a dream. Job chapter 33, verse 14, this is a good one. He says, for God speaks in one way and in two, though a man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and conceal pride from a man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing from the sword. Before I got saved, I had a dream, a prophetic dream. Well, I think I was saved. I'm not sure when I got saved. I'm sorry. I know I'm saved now. Not exactly sure when it happened. I know that I'm saved right now, though. And in the dream, I have my grandmother. There's a little story about Carl here. My grandmother was, she liked being married. She did it four times. And the fourth time, the fourth husband, no, actually the third one is the one that I knew as my grandfather. He was Jewish, and he was a doctor, and he studied religion, and he died when I was probably about 11 or 12. I called him Zaid because he was Jewish. That's, I didn't know that was Jewish. That's just what I called him. So I had my Noni, which is Italian, and I had Zaid, or some people say Zaidi, you know, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. So around the time that I was encountering God, I had this dream. And in the dream, well, let me tell you this. I encountered Jesus in a crazy way. God, he spoke to me audibly. He told me he kept me from being murdered, and I had to change my life, or the bad things were coming, right? So that was good in that I was scared. It took me a while to get right. But I had this dream. And in this dream, my Zaid was in this pit. It was like quicksand, and we were walking near it, and he started sinking in the quicksand. And I love this man. And he started sinking, and he started telling me, save yourself. It's too late for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're right here. I can get a stick, and I can pull you out, and everything will be okay. And he's like, no, it's too late for me. Save yourself while you still can. Now, we know it's bad theology to say that we can save ourselves. Right? But I knew what he meant. I got right with God, I don't know, within 2 weeks of that dream. Now, and it wasn't because of that dream, necessarily, but I knew something was happening on the inside of me, and the fear of the Lord came upon me. And within a couple weeks, I had a very dynamic encounter with Jesus, and I've kind of been following him ever since. And so, the Lord will visit you. Just because it's scary doesn't mean it's not God. Well, God is love, yes, and I love my kids, and I slap their hands so they don't run in traffic. Because the traffic is going to hurt a whole lot more than me slapping their hand. Right? Well, you shouldn't hit your kids. Well, I don't know what to say. I see your baby kids. Anyways, it's neither here nor there. We firmly believe that you take the rod of correction to the seat of learning and you drive out rebellion. We just believe it. And God does it in our lives. He takes the rod of correction to the seat of learning and drives out rebellion. He's like, this can be as rough as you want it to be. You know, if your kids just acted right, they wouldn't get spanked. Like, it's your choice. Anyway, again, in Daniel chapter 2, there is a God who reveals mysteries. My point is this. God wants to speak to you in all the areas of your life that truth does not abide, that you're not bearing good fruit. He wants to speak to you so that you can be very fruitful and that your life can bring wonderful fruit. Yeah, does that make sense? Psalm 51, I want you all to meditate on this week, that God desires truth in the inner parts. He wants there to be truth on the inner parts of your life so that you can display the fruit of Jesus in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. I hope you got something out of that. Come on up, Mike. Hallelujah. Quickly. Hallelujah. Let's just pray real quick. And I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to dismiss you. And we're actually going to get out of here early today. Is that okay? Let me get the house lights. Father, we love you so much right now. You're such a very good God. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yes. 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 Kevin, I feel like in your life there's been... You know, there's no battle between God and the devil, right? The battle is what will we believe. Let me tell you this. A curse is a spiritual sickness. If you have a waitress come up to your table, and she's got mucus coming out of her nose, and she's sneezing on stuff, and she's oozing sores in her hand, and she comes up serving your food with her thumb in your soup, I'm not eating that soup. Why? Because you're going to get sick. You know how you know if somebody is spiritually sick? They come to you gossiping. They come to you talking poorly about another Christian. They want you to be offended with the person that they're offended with. They want their soul sickness to get on you. They want you to walk in the same judgment they're walking in. And the enemy will use the people closest to you. You got to be people who are willing to say, bro, I understand that you're hurt, but this is sin. Love you, but I'm not going to gossip with you. This distrust that you're experiencing right now, this is unclean. And I'm not scared it's going to get on me, but I'm not going to allow you to try to give it to me either. Get your heart right, and then I'll be more than happy to talk about this situation with you. And so, Kevin, you're a man of strong allegiances. And don't allow a soul tie to come before the truth. That makes sense? But that's my baby. Yeah, your baby gonna take you to hell. Don't do it. Walk in freedom. Say, I love you, bruh. I understand you're hurt. Sounds very painful. But you're in sin right now. You need to repent. Get your heart right. And let the Lord take care of that issue. Some Holy Ghost antibiotic. It's called forgiveness. It's called repentance from judgment. It heals your heart ailment. But you don't know what they did. Did they nail you to a cross? No? Because I know a man who got nailed to a cross and still forgave. So if yours is lesser than that, then I got to believe it applies to you too, that you got to forgive. Don't share your offense with me. Got three men on the cross, right? One guy is mocking Jesus. Why don't you get us down from here? And the other dude says, I'm not taking up your offense. He's my only ticket at this place. I'm not going to let you steal this from me. Lord. Jesus says, all right, you coming with me. You coming with me. Hurt. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord reveals truth for a reason. He wants you to walk in truth. He wants you to walk in freedom. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I would like you just to get your heart clean right now. I just want you to repent of anybody that you have judged. I want you to repent of anybody that you have judged right now. And I want, right now, the Holy Ghost is going to do something. Oh, this is going to be very good. If you got a minute, just stay here. Don't move around yet. This is going to be, I'm almost done. It's still early. It's good. I mean, you sat through all this. You might as well get the payoff. Here comes the payoff. Here comes the payoff. Here it comes. Here it comes. The Lord is going to reveal some areas of your life. And he's literally saying, where'd you learn that? Where'd you learn that? Come on. He's revealing it right now. You see it. All right, everybody, if you would, just keep your eyes closed and head down. I don't want anybody to look around. I'm not having an altar call yet. I just want it for my information. Nobody looking around, please. He's showing people stuff right now. Stuff, areas in your life that there's just, woo! Who's seen something already? Keep your head down. I just want to, give me a wave, if you would. Give me a wave. You see it already. Okay, we got a trickle. Okay, yeah, we got a trickle. Ready? Open your heart. Okay, put your hands down. Open your heart. Father, what area of my life would you like to bring healing in today? He's showing some of you things right now. Hurts, disappointment, lack of progress. Oh, some of you right now, you thought a dream wasn't from God that's in your heart right now. There's something that was in your heart and you thought it wasn't from God. And he's like, who told you that? Who said you can't? Who said that what you did disqualifies you from that? Who told you that I can't heal that? Who told you that because of that my plans for you aren't good? Who told you that? Who said that you can't get on that stage with that microphone because of what you did already? Who told you that? Who's lying? Who said that you can't run that business? Who said that you can't travel the world? Who said that you can't have a happy family? Who told you that? Who told you that? Who said you're not going to get the good-looking spouse? Who told you that? Who told you you're not going to make it? Who told you that? Who I feel like a lie is coming off right now. I hear him saying, who told you that? It's always going to be like this. Who told you that? I hear God saying, I don't remember saying that. Reba shende vekete. Rebo. Who told you that? Boom. I thought I was going to do this with my life. Who told you that? Who told you that? Woo! I feel like the Lord is breathing on some things. I dare you to just believe right now. I dare you to hope. I dare you to trust God in those scary areas that aren't currently producing fruit. Who told you that? The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. He's a liar. I hear him telling you that. I have adopted you into a wonderful family with so many blessings. And you thought they're not going to trickle down to you? I hear him saying that. You met my son Jesus? You see all I gave him? I feel like he's saying, I dare you to dream bigger. I dare you to dream bigger. Okay, I'm beleaguering the point here, but I really think it's worth it. I really think it's worth it right now. I think God is about to do a Holy Ghost invasion in some of your belief systems. Who told you that? Who told you that? That your value is in your looks. Who told you that? Your value is in how you can look young. Who told you that? Who told you that? Wow. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to release you in about 3 minutes. According to heaven's time. I'm just going to pray a little bit. I just feel like God is doing something so significant right now. I want you to focus on the goodness of God right now. You're like, wow, Pastor, when's this going to end? I don't know. In a minute. I promise you. There'll still be some chicken at KFC. Hold on. You're going to make it. That was a liar. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. The devil is a liar. You are going to make it. Even people close to you who've doubted it and said, you got to get real. Who told you that? Told you that. They haven't seen what I have shown you. Do you know that? They have not heard the words I've spoken to you. You are going to make it. Yeah, I know what you did. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. The devil is a liar. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. I dare you to believe God right now. I dare you to believe God for his goodness right now. I dare you to believe God for his goodness right now. Is he a miracle working God or is he not? That you and your family shall be saved. That you and your family shall be saved. You are going to make it. feel like he might be doing something right now. Come on. I want you to see the dream on the inside of you and say, I can do that. With God's help, I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to be that person he's called me to be. This ain't self-help. This is believing the word of God. This is allowing the truth of God to resonate in your heart. I'm going to be a righteous man of God. I'm going to be a godly woman of God. I'm going to be a pillar of my community. He's going to do it in my life for his glory. Wow, there's something happening. Go ahead, Mikey. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Fire the Holy Ghost. He's healing the inner man right now. Let me bless you. And those, if you need to leave, if you could leave quietly, that'd be great. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless these under the sound of my voice. I declare your goodness and mercy on their lives. If you're a first-time visitor, we have a gift for you at the Next Steps table. But I'm going to continue ministering here right now. You might be like, I want to dip out. Some of you, you just need to stay. And let this anointing continue to flow. Holy Ghost. He's cleansing. Jesus, we love you. Listen, I'm not going to have time to go to everybody, but if you want prayer, if you feel like this is you, you can stay where you are, or you can come to the front. I guarantee you come to the front, you'll get some ministry. Fire the Holy Ghost! Mimi, come here. Hallelujah. I think we need a drummer. Come on, I want you to focus on what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. Holy Ghost is moving right now. Come on to the front if you want some prayer. Don't be shy. Boom. There we go. Felipe, can you come pray for my friend? There we go. It's new. All things new. All things new. All things new. All things new. Come on up and just get my ushers to help me out here. All things new. Come on, ushers, help me out. Let's, don't worry about these folks standing back here. Just get a line going right here, ushers. Help me out here. If I can have any ushers come help me out with a line here. Come on over here. Anyway, it's better not in front of the speaker. It's not as... There you go. Right on over there. That's fine. Oh, get him. Get him, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. He's after your heart, Mike. He's after your heart, Mike. He's after your heart, Mike. I get in trouble for messing with the ushers, but God likes to bless people who serve. I don't know what to say. Y'all two don't leave without getting prayer, okay? God's going to change. He's gonna make things very good.
Hear your voice.
Make sure my wife prays for you, too. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost.
Fire the Holy Ghost. Of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep.
Pastor, are you working the front there?
Hands and praise. I will believe.
Here it comes.
I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of you.
Felipe, come join me, please. God's plans for your life.
Staying humbled at your feet.
You trust him.